Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson.
Bow, bow, bow. I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's the second part of the History Box, which looks back at Magic Alex, Yanis Alexis Mardas, who was a close friend and associate of the Beatles from about 1967 onwards, I think. Known as Magic Alex because he was magical and came up with all kinds of inventions, which invariably were all shite. One of the things we touched upon last week was that he changed his name from Alex to John Alex, which of course anybody that changes their name to John is a winner in our books.
Yeah.
Where were we up to? I was looking at the Wikipedia page, Sam, for Magic Alex. And then I went back into the Craig Brown 1, 2, 3, 4 book. One of the best recent books on the Beatles. And it looks like lots of the stuff on the Wikipedia is actually lifted from the Craig Brown book. So maybe it's just going to the Craig Brown book.
Yeah.
And it's entry number 100 in 1, 2, 3, 4. The Beatles in time. And this is a month before Brian Epstein's death, so this will have been 67, I think. Brian Epstein was writing to his American business partner, Nat Weiss, and talking about what was going on, and he moved on to the Beatles and said in the letter, "The boys have gone to Greece to buy an island."
Yeah.
He says, "A dotty idea." Great word, dotty.
Yeah, dotty, yeah.
A dotty idea. But is that a word that's used in the oeuvre of mental health these days?
Dotty, no, but I'm going to introduce it for sure.
Yeah, I thought you might.
You dotty bastard. Dotty. What's the matter with you, yeah, you dotty bastard?
The idea of buying a Greek island had been popped into John Lennon's head by his new best friend, Magic Alex Mardas. Mm-hmm. Craig Brown describes him as perhaps the most fraudulent of all the Beatles hangers-on. Which immediately makes him the best one.
Yeah.
And then again, it goes over the stuff that we talked about last week, Alex's introduction into Beatles life and then hanging about the Rolling Stones. And of course, he pitched the Rolling Stones a system of spotlights designed to go off and on to the beat of live music. And they employed the system on their next tour with mixed results. And apparently it worked some of the time. What was this? Yeah. Mardas concentrated his energies on John Lennon. So he focused in on John Lennon as being, let's say, the most susceptible of the Beatles.
The most suggestible.
Yeah. Cynthia Lennon said, "John was knocked out by Magic Alex. He was a truly plausible person and had the face of an innocent. His hair was as blonde and as angelic as his smile. To John, who was totally ignorant of the tricks one can make with electricity..."
Or Lecky, as John calls John and the boys called it.
"I'll be the first to admit it, if there's one thing about me, it's that I'm totally ignorant of the tricks one can make with electricity."
"I know a few things. I can write a song. Oh, no problem. There's a few things I do know about. But when it's electricity tricks, no, No way. It's a blind spot for me.
We leave all the electricity to George Martin. He deals with all of that kind of thing. He plugs everything in at the start of the day and then unplugs them all at the end.
That's the way we've always had it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, John believed Alex really had something magic about him. Cynthia says he believed every word that he said. And John took Alex to Paul's house one day and says, "This is my new guru, Magic Alex."
Knock, 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 knock. Who is it? It's me, John.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Rat-a-tat-tat. Paul, open up. Who is it? It's me, John. John Lennon, your friend out of the Beatles. Oh, okay, I'm just coming. Hang on. Who's this you brought round to meet me? Magic Alex. He's my guru.
He's my new guru. Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, come on in. Do you want a cup of tea, Magic Alex? No, Magic Alex doesn't drink tea. That's too banal for him.
Have you got any electric soup? He'll have some of that.
Oh, I don't know. I'll see what Linda can knock up.
Paul was a little taken aback, but he made no comment.
I bet he fucking was. Turned up with some fucking Greek geezer smiling on the front door, claiming to have magical powers over electricity. Oh, fucking hell, what now? This is worse than the Maharishi.
Oh, we're doing that now,
this is
we?
Worse than the Maharishi.
This is pre-Maharishi. They're just entering that zone of fantasism.
Always appears to be John. I mean, I know the feeling, though. I mean, it is interesting because on the one hand, these guys are geniuses, right? What you got is a collection of geniuses, genii, right? Mm. All four of them, even Ringo. I'm going to say he was a genius too.
Yeah.
And actually, George Martin and Brian Epstein were as well, right? So you've got this gang of fucking geniuses who've been hanging around with each other. And you think, they're so clever, right? They're so brilliant. How could they be fooled repeatedly by hangers-on and grifters, right? Who obviously gravitated towards them when they were such clever people. And if you look at, like, you know, you know, some people might say, oh, well, you know, they were good at writing songs. Doesn't make them like streetwise. But I would say, but hang on, for them, there was lots of talented musicians, perhaps not as talented as the Beatles, admittedly, who don't make it because they lack the sort of common sense, nous, strategic thinking to navigate their way through the cutthroat music industry.
Yeah.
You need more a lot of the time than just talent, don't you? You need to be smart. And so they're smart. Also, in terms of like insight to human beings, well, fuck me. Listen to the lyrics of their songs. Certainly McCartney's, I mean. But like, you know, like they've got human insight. They, you know, they've got the lot. And yet, apart from knowledge of electricity, I'll give you that. That's one thing that's a blind spot. We've established that. So then you think, how could people who were that clever, that smart, be hoodwinked so easily by a bullshitter? And you think, well, it happens. I mean, I've got a history. I mean, I'm not saying I'm as smart as the Beatles. I'm not, right?
But you're not far off.
But what I'm saying is that I do know the feeling of falling in with someone and kind of like my wife bemoans this, and sometimes she lists the people. You know, that over the years, I've fallen in with charismatic male figures, right? Who overnight, like, I haven't done this in a long time, but, you know, it's like, oh, suddenly you're like, oh, this geezer, he's fucking brilliant. Yeah, he's da-da-da-da-da, and suddenly I'm involved in a business plan. So she's always on. She's going, what about that guy?
Was I on this list when this podcast began?
It's a huge compliment to you that you've never been anywhere, despite the fact that we have been on a five-year fucking demented sort of, like, creative conceptual adventure / business project, right?
Football podcast.
She has never once, weirdly, counted this as, like, one of those things. But, you know, I do have a tendency to suddenly fall under the spell of anyone with the courage of their convictions and a bit of charisma.
Yeah.
But I've always put that down to the emotional unavailability of my father. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it?
But that's human nature. That's a story as old as time itself. That's how cults,
you know, exactly, yeah,
thrive and prevail. And, you know, people prey upon people who are... I'm not saying mentally feeble, not the word I'm using.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it makes... I suppose what I'm saying is it makes me feel better that even John Lennon and the rest of the Beatles were vulnerable to this sort of thing. I mean, and to be honest, I've never gone that far down. I've just remembered there was one hilarious guy who I did invest, oh God, like... tens of thousands of pounds.
Oh, fucking hell. Stuff's coming back now live, isn't it?
Yeah.
Memories coming back.
Yeah, I mean, this was a guy, I've probably told you about, but this is a guy, he was from America. So obviously straight away, I'm interested.
Oh, God.
Hi, I'm an American. Right, oh, I'm interested. How much do you need? Yeah, I've got the checkbook out here. I'm sold. Don't you want to hear my idea? No, listen. I've watched American movies and TV my whole life. You guys know what you're doing. It would be my privilege to be involved with an American business person. It was a bit like that. His name, I really want to say his name because it makes the story funnier because it was a strange name. But obviously I can't because the story reflects badly on him. But yeah, he said, I mean, he did have credentials and he said he was going to set up the American wing of my production company. So obviously that is really exciting. My company was doing well and we did have some capital, you know, at the end of the year that if you don't invest, you pay it in tax, right? So if you can invest it, the government encourages you to like invest as much as you can if it's going to create more work and tax revenue for them. So I go, right, okay. And he goes, we got loads of business you can do here in California. And I go, California, you say? What part of California? Los Angeles.
The best part.
What part? Good. What part of Los Angeles? Hollywood. Yes.
Of course.
Right. Done deal. Right. But this is the best bit, Andy, and this is where you will sympathise a small amount with how I was hoodwinked, right? Is that we had this money and he said, I need this amount a month. He was going to hire an assistant and he needed office space, right? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And he tells me that he's got this office space on a lot, right? You know, they always call it a lot in Hollywood, right? And I'm like, brilliant. And this was going to have my company's name on the door of it, right? It did, but I never visited, right? By the time it had crashed and burned, I hadn't managed to get over there, right, to have a tour of my American premises because the company...
Oh, what?
I know, but listen to this. The office next door on the lot, the neighbours, right... In the office next door, and this really was the clinch, you're not even joking. In this lot, the office next door to my American office were Wendy and Lisa out of the Revolution.
Oh!
Yeah.
Fuck!
And I don't mind admitting to you that there were two other offices in the running, both of which were quite a bit cheaper. But I was sent the prospectus and all of that. Like, yeah, we were only renting it. We weren't buying it. And he's like, right, I'll send you over the ones that I've looked at. They're very small. They're only like little offices enough for like two or three people. And he said, this one here, I don't know if you're a big music fan. Yeah, I am. Oh, there's a couple of girls next door who are musicians. Oh, yeah. They actually played with Prince. And I'm like, fuck off. What are their names? They're great girls. I've already met them, Wendy and Lisa. And I'm like,
fucking hell.
We're getting this one even though it's more expensive.
Stop that one. Yeah, I'm coming over now.
Oh, yeah, I'm on my way to the airport.
I've got a one-way ticket.
But there was nothing came out of that whatsoever. I mean, it's a too long a story. We'll deep dive it one time. But put it this way, it's right up there with the Enter story. My American launch.
Could it be possible that this fella, whatever his name was, had also rented the Wendy and Lisa office himself?
Yeah.
And was using it as bait to attract men of a certain age.
And he'd got to no, it would be very easy for him to have done a little bit of research on me, found out like what my hobbies and interests were. And he goes, he likes two things above all else. He likes West Ham United and the music of Prince. Now,
and his associates.
So we're either going to say that the office is the Hollywood offices of Sir Trevor Brooking and Billy Barnes.
The US estate of Sir John Lyle.
Yeah. No, Trevor Brooking and Billy Bonds have gone into the movie business. Obviously, you can imagine they have millions from their footballing career. And they've been lured into producing Hollywood movies. They see themselves as the new Simpson and Bruckheimer. And they've set themselves up on a lot, in a Hollywood studio lot. And they're working with a variety of writers. They're working with a variety of big-name directors. And they're thinking of starting a whole new... What they really want to do... Sir Trevor's more the producer. Billy Bonds is more of the creative director. And they want to go up against Marvel. They want their own hero franchise.
West Ham-based hero franchise.
Yeah, and they think it could have global appeal.
Frank McAvenny.
They're making one movie about Julian Frank Dix. McAvenny, one All about June Dix. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. One about George Parris. Anyway.
Maybe it's a little bit on the nose. Maybe we should look at the Prince angle.
Do you think he'll go for it? I think he will. He's a pretty... I've had a private investigator look into him, and he is... His defining characteristic appears to be excitable. And it doesn't take much to excite him. So if we tell him that Trevor Brooking and Billy Barnes are starting their own movie studio in the West Nick, so I think before he starts investigating it, he'll just become very excited and sign on a dotted line.
I found out he was once ridiculed by his peers because he chose to order fish cake in the local fish and chip emporium, which suggests that his decision-making can sometimes be slightly askew.
Knee-jerk. He's a knee-jerk decision-maker. He's an emotional decision-maker. And you know what? In business, emotional decisions can kill you dead. I am an emotional decision maker. That's true.
Oh, man.
So, well, who knows?
At least you've got self-awareness, though, Sam.
Yeah, but he...
That's the main thing.
Jalapeño.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So I got done over by him. I mean, I wasn't done over. It wasn't like just a scam. It's more a case of I didn't do enough diligence on exactly how he was going to go about it. He was introduced to me by someone very close and trustworthy who'd worked with him. So he wasn't a complete charlatan. Yeah. But the thing was, he was a desperate man. He was a desperate man, and I was funding him, and he didn't get any business done. And within 6 months, the money had all gone, and it was fucked. And also, there was about the bookkeeper who turned out to have a gambling addiction. And, and he nicked 12 grand in one night out of a cashie because somehow he had his own business card and a PIN number. And he was the guy who I met. He was supposed to pay me back, and I met him in a Five Guys in central London, and he was supposed to be bringing an envelope with 5 grand cash, but there was only 1 grand. And so I grabbed him and physically marched him to the nearest Nationwide and got him to withdraw money over the counter for me while I stood next to him. And they were, I must say, they were looking at me suspiciously, the counter staff, because they could see that I had hold of him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it was an
aggressive withdrawal. And,
yeah.
But they didn't say anything. They still gave him the money.
I was going to say that these days, I think they've probably pressed some kind of alarm button.
Yeah. I mean, certainly we're only going back about six years. And I was looming over him, and I was even in the line, I was berating him and swearing at him and so forth. I mean, I'd really lost my mind. That happens if someone nicks 12 grand off you. Do you know what I mean?
These days, if you try and send a mate 40 quid or something, Apple say, what's this for? Is it a business? Is it a friend? Do you know this person? Are you sure you know them?
I end up feeling like hell. I'm the fucking dodgy one, the amount of questions my bank asks me. Who are you giving this money to?
Do I really know them?
Hey, it's my business who I'm giving the money to. It's my fucking money, cunt. No, hang on, I don't. And they're more or less going, don't like the sound of this cunt, sounds shifty. What are you talking about? It's my mum. My mum organised a trip to the Cat Cafe at Westfields last week. It was expensive, and I said I'd go halves with her. But she had paid the money up front. So now I'm paying her back half the money for the trip to the Cat Cafe. And they're like, your mum, are you sure it's your mum? Well, I'm as sure as anyone can be it's their fucking mum. I mean, I don't remember the birth because I was a baby. You know, and there's no video footage of it. It was 1975. No one was filming me coming out of my mum's fanny in 1975. But, I mean, we could do a fucking DNA test if you want. But to all intents and purposes, I regard this woman as my mother. Now let her have the fucking money for the Cat Cafe trip.
Yeah. I mean, you know, do you know this person? Do any of us really know anyone?
Yeah, correct.
When you think about it.
It's only a matter of time. You know, you've got two accounts, right, in the same account. So you've got, like, this is my current account. This is my savings account.
Nothing in it.
Yeah, nothing in that, obviously.
It sits there.
Tax account. And what I do is every month I transfer 40% of my earnings into my tax account. No, do I fuck? Right, but...
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not dragging anything across. Not when there's shit to be bought.
Oh, well, the tax bill comes in and I start desperately floundering around trying to make money.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, there's things to be bought. That's what they don't understand. Yeah. You've got your money. You need to buy shit with your money, don't you? Anyway.
Do. That's what it's for. That's why I call it money.
And exactly. They don't call it fucking tax. They call it money. Spending money. What? Walking around money.
That's from a David Mamet film. I can't remember which one it is now. And he says, everybody needs money. That's why it's called money.
What?
Amazing.
That's a brilliant line. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, you know, you transfer it across from one of your accounts to the other. They're even going to start asking you that. Are you sure you know this person? Yeah, I do. It's me. It's all within the same fucking account, ultimately. I don't know. Have you dealt with them before? Yeah, I deal with myself every day, you cunt.
I look in the fucking mirror every time.
Every day, I can't tell you I particularly like what I see. I don't, but it's what I'm slot with. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I am perfect. I am not. I am flawed like anyone. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Do I like myself? Hand on heart? No, not much. But
sometimes I do, not often.
Do I trust myself? Categorically,
no.
I do not. But, end of the day, legally, I am me. And therefore, I am allowed, by law, to transfer money from myself to myself.
And you, Sir John Barclays, do not have a leg to stand on. Next question.
No, I don't trust myself. Fine, you've made me say it. I don't. I don't trust myself as far as I could throw myself. Have you ever tried to throw yourself? It's not possible. It's not possible, whoever you are. And let me tell you, I'm a big lad as well. I'm heavy.
The only way
I'm heavy and I'm getting heavier all the time. So it's not easy for me to throw my own self.
You can throw yourself down some stairs, but I wouldn't advise that.
But if that's the price I have to pay to just transfer this 40 quid into my fucking savings account, right, to get myself out of the overdraft, I will. Do you want to hear? Do you want to FaceTime me? I'll throw myself down the stairs now if you want. No, sir. They're a fucking call centre operative in fucking New Delhi. No, that won't be necessary, Mr. Delaney.
Hold on, let me check the script.
It says here, hang on, let me see, the AI says, no, you are, please, Barclays, Barclays, you must waive all of your rights, human and otherwise, if you are to throw yourself down a flight of stairs in order to prove your own identity. Fine, I waive my rights. What's that mean? I can't sue you if I break my collarbone. Fine, I don't want to. I just want my money.
I just want to transfer this money. And they wonder why people are going cash only. Storing all their money. Preppers storing all their money in shoeboxes under the bed.
Is that what's going on now?
I think there's a lot of that now, yeah. Because people are up in arms because of the new cashless society.
Yeah.
Where everything's card only. They don't trust it.
If the system goes down, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, I mean, you know, fucking money itself's worthless. It just says, I promise to pay the bearer, you know, only £20 note.
It's like time. It's the same thing. It's like time, yeah, mate. It's just some cunts invented it and we're all going along with it. But it's not real. Time's not real and nor is money.
Yeah. Look at Zimbabwe when it cost you $1 million to buy a loaf of bread. Anyone can fuck the economy up if they want to.
Yeah. Or what if, even worse, what if you get someone comes to power, right? A charismatic demagogue. Right.
Gary Lineker
comes to power, and on his first day in power, he goes, right, first things first, brace yourselves, cunts, because, you know, he comes on TV. We interrupt this message. Mm. We interrupt this episode of The One Show for an important message from our new Prime Minister, our new President, Gary Lineker.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
And he's gone, right. Hold on to your fucking braces, cunts, because you are not going to believe what I've just done. I've cancelled.
Flooded the economy.
I've cancelled money. Yeah, you heard me right. Money no longer is recognised in this nation state as a thing. It's not a concept.
We
it's
are
not
returning
a
to a barter system as of midnight.
If, for instance, you are a podcaster, which our research shows now, 80% of men over the age of 40 in the UK are full-time podcasters, right? If you are a podcaster, then you will have to exchange podcasts for the goods and services you require to live, such as loaves of bread, peanuts, Lucozade, and paracetamol.
The basic food groups.
Yeah. You're going to have to fucking... From now on, if you want a loaf of bread, you're going to have to go into the local baker's or Sainsbury's and offer to record someone a private podcast. A
bespoke podcast.
Yeah.
Just between 8 and 10 minutes, not a full-length one, you know, just enough to get you a loaf of bread.
Imagine going into the butcher's. Thank God I'm vegetarian. Because butchers are grumpy at the best of times. You go in there and say, I want a pound of sausages. Okay, well, what are you going to give me? A podcast. Mm. Well... I don't know. I don't have much time to listen to podcasts, so they're not of much value. Well, have you got a dog? Yeah, I've got a dog. Well, fucking listen to it on your dog walk then. Who do you support? Oh, I'm not really into football. Well, who did you support when you came to support someone? Well, I used to like Everton. All right, I'm going to do you half an hour on Everton. And it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
But I also, I tell you what, if you give me the luxury sausages, right, the ones with apple and fucking herbs in them, I will. I think, I can't guarantee this, but I think I can get Kevin Sheedy's number and I can probably get him on the phone for 5 to 10 minutes just to ask him a few questions about that season when you won the league in 1985, right? So that's bonus content. Interview Kevin Sheedy. The rest is just me talking to my mate about Everton, okay?
Yeah.
And all I want is a pound of luxury sausages. No, but we've got decent mics and we'll just... To be honest, we'll probably end up talking about things that anything we can remember out Everton, like that nice kit you used to have with the sort of white V-neck. Like, we'll probably be talking about things like that, to be honest.
These mics, are you in the same studio? No, we do it remotely. He lives in London, I live in Sunderland, but, you know, it's high quality. We record each track at our own location.
Zoom,
and then
is it Zoom?
Edit them together.
No, it's not Zoom. We don't find that reliable.
No glitching or anything.
We record separate files at either end. Oh, is it that Riverside FM? No, we don't use that either. We've got our own system, which actually we're not prepared to tell you about because it's sort of our own thing that we use. Well, I'd like to know if I'm going to be paying your money, if I'm going to be giving you sausages, I think it's my right to know exactly how you're going to record this podcast.
What, you just do like a WhatsApp video call or something, I assume? How the fuck did
you
know that?
Who told you that? Who have you been talking to? No one knows that. At least you don't know the fucking software we use to record remotely.
It's fucking obvious. Oh, but it's audio hijack, is it? Yeah,
no,
it fucking is. So what?
Not sometimes. No, not always. All right, yes, it is. Do you use Yeti mics? No, we don't. We don't. Yeah. Different mics. We get them from Japan. They're Yetis, aren't they? Yes, they're Yetis. Basic USB mic setup then you've got, is it? Yeah.
I bet you just did it on Audacity, do you? That free software. Yeah, but it's fine. So it's
as good as the paid-for ones anyway. What are you paying for ones for?
Just editing sound files, for fuck's sake. How hard can it be?
I don't know. Yeah, this sounds like a bit of a fucking... This sounds a bit lo-fi. A little bit of a cowboy outfit. Well,
I'll tell you what, if you can get Sheedy for 15 minutes rather than 5, you can have the sausages.
But I'm not... But I tell you, not the luxury ones. You can have a pound of chipolatas. Which is actually more individual sausages. So if you're feeding a family... Although the sausages themselves are smaller, there's more units in that pound. So, in some ways, although the sausages... I mean, I'll be honest, our chipolatas do contain a lot of eyelid and sawdust. But they're tasty. The kids love them. All right, fine.
Sawdust tastier than you'd think when it's correctly mixed with meat.
And the correct spices.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. I think we've said enough about Magic Alex for this week. There's plenty more. Yeah, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.